How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
George Hill in the lane. Turnaround, right-hand push shot, good. George Hill's got 27 points. He is putting it on the Pacers.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 14th of June. George Hill, there's interest in Minnesota. What does that mean for the Jazz, or does it mean Ricky Rubio to the Jazz? We'll talk about that. An update on Dante Exum, mixed reviews on some people's workouts, and an interesting little what bothers you more. That's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Really excited that today we will launch Locked On NBA's mock draft. We'll have a Reddit AMA at 2 o'clock Eastern, noon Mountain for each of our selections of draft picks. So keep an eye on that if you want to get involved. And we'll be launching our first edition. It's really cool. It's mostly put together of all of the picks. So and we'll have 5 episodes of that. Plus, hoping to talk to Chad Ford, Mike Schmitz, and Kevin O'Connor. They will either be posted here on Locked On Jazz or on Locked On NBA. I haven't totally figured that out because I just have so much content right now. And then I'm out for about, call it 2 weeks, starting Monday of shows. One other note for you programming-wise, tomorrow, Thursday, is our Facebook Live show. I'm expecting to be out very early in the morning. I may do that in the afternoon tomorrow just to... because I can't do it first. If I do it in the morning, it'll be at 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe even earlier. So that doesn't do any good. And it'll be a kind of our draft, big draft Facebook Live tomorrow, mid-afternoon. All right, today's show is brought to you by Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. Devin has been with us from the very beginning. Really have enjoyed getting to know Devin. More importantly, I love hearing the stories about what Devin as a realtor has done for people in our Locked On podcast network, Locked On Jazz family. Zach Campbell moved back from Hilo, Hawaii, where he's going to pharmacy school. Devin helped him out, and Zach said, what most people don't realize about realtors is their ability to establish rapport with counterparts plays a huge role in how the sales process. Devin is simply a downright good guy, which fosters positive relationships with everyone he interacts with. We've had several other people vying for the home we purchased. I credit Devin's interpersonal skills, real estate savvy, to getting us back into the perfect home. And in addition, I heard from Kyle Diener. Kyle said, Devin built a market comparison analysis for me by the end of the next day, which was great. I didn't expect him to put that sort of effort in so quickly. The biggest surprise working with Devin was his personal tact. We're not planning on moving for at least 6 months, so I was apprehensive of how he'd handle this type of situation, but he was great. He kept in touch. At no point did he come across as pushy, impatient, or uninterested, and I explained to him that I'd be proactive because of how a big change in our life was, and he was nothing but empathy and understanding. That's the essence of who Devin Cash is. It's why you want to use Devin for your buying or selling a house. Give Devin a call. He'll give you a free market analysis to help you determine your home's value. You can call him at 801-759-1495. That's 801-759-1495. Two free season tickets whenever you buy or sell your house with Devin. That's what Devin did last year. I'm sure he's doing it again this year. That's two free Jazz season tickets when you buy or sell a home with Devin. 801-759-1495, Devin Cash, Equity Real Estate. All right, so the news story today is that there's reports out that Minnesota is interested in George Hill. I'll tell you what, here's what I think's interesting to this is, I'm sure a lot of people are interested in George Hill. This is the one thing we've got to kind of relax about, and I get it. I mean, I'm as stressed on Gordon as anyone, but like Jordan Schultz, who actually used to be my intern, reporting, you know, that Boston's the front runner. Like, I'm not going there. I don't think there is a front runner. I do think it's going to come down to Boston and Utah. unquestionably at this point. I think L.A. might get involved. I think Miami might get involved. But I really do. Yeah, it'll come down to Boston, Utah. I don't know how somebody's a front runner right now. And there's a lot that can take place between now and then. And, you know, when you hear that Minnesota's interested in George Hill, well, sure. Obviously, because George Hill's good. And the same way that people are interested in Gordon Hayward, because Gordon Hayward's good. Here's the thing about – there's two things that are going on here. One is the marketplace is really unclear. Now, if you have a really good agent, which most of these guys do, they have a pretty good idea what's going on, and word will start to spread a little bit to other teams. That's why things happen so fast on July 1st. But here's the key storyline to this marketplace. There's 25% less money in the market right now than there was last year. If Paul Millsap, Drew Holiday, or Kyle Lowry switch teams, none of their teams are in a financial circumstance in which they are able to replace that player. So if any of those three, Holiday, Lowry, Millsap, switch teams, then there's about 40% less money on the market, because then those guys have gone and eaten up a bunch of money, and their team is not does not have the cap space to replace that player. Does that make sense? So in the case of George Hill, who is behind Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, Drew Holiday on the point guard list, only Holiday probably because of age, it's not clear what his market value is right now at all. And only because we don't know how much money's in the market. There's a chance that if Kyle Lowry leaves Toronto, seems unlikely with the amount of money. Drew Holiday leaves New Orleans, seems maybe likely. If Millsap leaves Atlanta, might be likely. All of a sudden, if George Hill doesn't get the Brooklyn deal or the 76er money, his market is just evaporating on him. If those guys all stay, now his market's quite mammoth. The other thing that's interesting in regards to George Hill's free agency, and I haven't talked to George. George was really, I don't know how to phrase this correctly, almost in between agents. He had someone handling his business during the extension talks, but it wasn't a CAA agent, or it wasn't a Bartlestein or what. And I know I had talked to him at one point that he had let his agent go and he was in the process of finding a new one and he hadn't done it yet. When the extension happened, I don't know if he's done it now. If he hasn't, there's two impacts on that. One is it's very hard on the Jazz. Because if he does sign in with an agent that the Jazz know and trust, and most of these guys are really very good despite the way they're portrayed, they can honestly kind of say, hey, here's what we're expecting. We do expect an offer from Brooklyn for 23. You'd have to come in at about 19. And then the Jazz have to figure out if they're bluffing or not. But you also can just tell. Like, and you can probably, Dennis Lindsay at that point can pick up Sean Mark, call Sean Marks and say, is this real? And if the guy's lying, well then, you know, it really hurts his credibility. So there's some bluffing, but there's not the blatant lying that you might think goes on in these circumstances. If George Hill has not solidified his agent situation and is going with an inexperienced guy, or just, you know, is kind of running a little bit on his own, then it's difficult for the Jazz as well. It's difficult for all the teams, not just the Jazz, because a lot of these conversations and deals are in line, at least, so that you can build various scenarios before it happens. So that's one to keep an eye on. Here's the other one. If Minnesota is really interested in George Hill, let's go with this hypothetical or this rumor as being true. What do the Jazz prefer? George Hill or Ricky Rubio? So George Hill is a better offensive player. No question. Great catch and shoot. Maybe one of the best catch and shoot guys in the league. He's got a better pack. He's 31 years old. Market value is going to be somewhere between, call it, probably 18 and 22, 16 and 24. Probably 4 years at 31 years old with a toe injury that was injured in November and kept him out of a game in May. That bothers me. Hope he gets it solved. Or Ricky Rubio, who's 26 years old, is on the books for $14 million a year from now and $14.8 million the year after. So you have him for 2 years at $14 million. Might be enough money that it allows you to re-sign Joe Ingles more easily. Or at least it just gives you a $7 million, maybe an eight, you know, somewhere between a $4 and $8 million, $9 million window, maybe as much as 10. 2 years. You know, Rubio's a great defensive player, super passer. Downside is he can't shoot, and particularly at the rim, by the way. The Rubio thing that we talk about so much is three-point shooting. His shooting at the rim is really the issue. His shooting, and it's gone, and because of it, he used to take like 41% of his shots at the rim, and then in the 14-15 season, he shot 33% at the rim. It went up to 52, then went up to 48, but in turn, he's taking less shots at the rim than he ever used to. His three-point shooting had a great second half of the season. He's very similar, by the way, to Jason Kidd at 26 years old, numbers-wise. And Kidd became a pretty good shooter. And the other similarity between he and Kidd is at least advantage to Rubio is the free throw shooting. Rubio was an 89% free throw shooter last year, which leads you to believe he should be able to shoot the three. But he's a wide-open spot shooter. He's not a contest shooter. Is he going to create space? Would he create space for Gordon on the floor or not? The one thing I've looked at is his presence has never negatively impacted, you know, any of the players he plays with. You don't go through Andrew Wiggins or Karl Anthony Towns or any of the other guys he's played with and see that their production is down because they're on the floor with Rubio. It's usually the exact opposite. I find a huge comparison between Kidd and Rubio, both at 26 years old. Kidd had not had the ACL injury that Rubio had, but Kidd was a 33% three-point shooter at that point. Rubio's a 32. Kidd was a 40% overall shooter. Rubio's a 38. Rubio improved the last year. Kidd started to improve at this point of his career as well. Kidd was 9.3 assists. Rubio's 8.5. Kidd's 6 rebounds, Rubio's 4. Kidd's obviously a better rebounder. They both average 2 steals a game. They're very, very similar. Kidd played a few more games, but otherwise there are a lot of comparisons to where those two players are and were in their careers at this point. Kidd obviously, but Rubio's special. Rubio, by the way, socially. Knows Joe Ingles well, gets along, and might be a good match, probably a very good match in the locker room as well. But I would suspect if there is interest in Minnesota for George Hill, then it would mean that Ricky Rubio is available, and then you'd have to ask yourself the question, if you're the Jazz, which of those two would you rather have? The better offensive catch-and-shoot player, the 31-year-old, more playoff experience, on a longer deal than a 26-year-old at $14 million, who's not as good a shooter, a better passer, probably younger, maybe a better defender. It'll be interesting to see if anything here plays out, but that's a thought for you. I give you these thought exercises every day. Dante Exum got an update on him. He's in Los Angeles, working hard. They're very pleased with his work. Man, this is a huge question for Dante this offseason is he humble? Is he going to work? Does he realize how much he has to do? All reports are yes. So very, very encouraging news in that regards with Dante. Does he realize the leap of skill that he has to play, make in his game? I do not think the Jazz are intending to go to the start of the season with him as their starting point guard. I do think they're intending to have him play a good deal and be active and maybe almost as a 1-2. I could see the Jazz coming back with a new point guard if all works well. Hood, Hayward, Ingles, Exum as your 5 players, and you're just rotating through those 5 interchangeably. And if it's Rubio, he's long enough and big enough that you can do that. Actually every single one of those guys is so long that they can just interchangeably play those three positions. And there's enough minutes in all those spots. Mixed reports coming out about Luke Kennard's various workouts. Interesting story that Josh Jackson has taken some anger management classes. He did have some off-court problems at Kansas. A lot of talk to Justin Jackson, North Carolina, older player, is the Knicks are very sweet on him. They don't really have a pick that matches. A lot of false information going to start coming out here. Heard good things about the Kentucky kid, Bam Adebayo. He's going to be floating around the Jazz area. So I've heard some good things around the league about him. Then the other projections that get interesting in this draft are players who you will use entirely differently than how they've been used in the past. So Mathias Lesort, I think is how you pronounce it, is one of those, a second-round pick, maybe late first-round pick, who you're going to use him as a switching five in the NBA, and he's not been used that way. Tony Bradley, North Carolina, was a complete post player in North Carolina, shot almost nothing outside, and yet you hear Walt Perrin talking about how he showed a decent mid-range game. So that's a little bit of what we have going on here. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer jumped a few point guys up on their draft board. He's done a really nice job. Hoping to talk to him this week and have him for an interview as well. But he changed a few things on his draft board with a few updates recently. The latest update had Jason Tatum, I think, jumping to 4. And then had, and there's no way I'll pronounce his name correctly, but had a big jump by he did not have Jason Tatum. Yeah, Jason Tatum holding it too. He's been very high on him. And then he jumped the Latvian 7-2 Pasanikas? Let's go with that. Pasik? I don't know. So he's jumped up a little bit. He's kind of a true center player. And Johan Bolden out of Australia has popped up a little bit more on the boards. So keep an eye on some of those names are floating up boards right now. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Hope you're great. Thanks very much for tuning in, enjoying the show. Devin Cash, Equity Real Estate, is our sponsor today. 801-759-1495. If you want to sponsor Locked On Jazz, you can do so. Email me at dlock09@gmail.com. And it is my pleasure to bring you the show. Huge stuff coming on Locked On NBA. Make sure you tune in today and grab the mock drafts. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.